The Lord be with you.
And
also with you. Welcome in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus. We pray God's blessings on our time together today. Today is all about love. How's that for you? All about love. We pray that God would bless us as we hear His Word, as we focus on His gift and His definition of love for us today. A couple of words on our worship service for this morning. Opening hymn is number 852, O God of Mercy, God of Might. Following that hymn, we'll pray Matins, page 219 and following. Have a worship insert for the day. The readings are on one side, propers are on the other. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. Focus will be on the gospel reading for today from the Gospel of Matthew. Before we sing our opening hymn, let's take a moment, notice and greet our brothers and sisters in Christ. If you don't know who you're sitting next to, find out. In Jesus, we are one. Let's greet each other in the name of the Lord. Did not lose Pastor Morundi. If you saw in the news and notes, he is at his former congregations in Iowa today, where one of the congregations is celebrating its 125th anniversary. So he's the special speaker for that, and we pray God's blessings for him, and we pray God's blessings on his message as well. Before we sing our opening hymn, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank You for the blessings You shower down upon us. We thank You for Your love, which is manifest in the life, death, and resurrection of Your Son, Jesus Christ, for us and for our salvation. Heavenly Father, teach us to love one another as You have loved us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hymn 852.
Thank you. Please stand. We continue with the order of Matins, page 219. O Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Praise to you, O Christ. Alleluia.
Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
O come, let us worship Him. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us sing to the Lord our salvation.
Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
O come, let us worship Him.
We sing the introit.
Hear the prayer of your servant.
hymn is Lord Thee I Love With All My Heart, page 708. Please be seated. reading from Deuteronomy chapter 10. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, which I am commanding you today for your good. Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the heavens of heavens, the earth with all that is in it. Yet the Lord set his heart in love on your fathers, and chose their offspring after them, you above all peoples, as you are this day. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no longer stubborn. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God, who is not partial and takes no bribe. He executes justice for the fatherless and the widow, and loves the sojourner, giving him food and clothing. Love the sojourner, therefore, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him and hold fast to him, and by his name you shall swear. He is your praise. He is your God, who has done for you these great and terrifying things that your eyes have seen. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
We speak the gradual. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Peace be within your walls, and security within your towers. A reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift, as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless, in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Now while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question, saying, what do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? They said to him, the son of David. He said to them, how is it then that David in the Spirit calls him Lord, saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. If then David calls him Lord, how is he his son? And no one was able to answer him a word, nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
We continue with the Common Responsory, page 221. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house, and the place where your glory dwells.
Love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Text for our meditation this morning, the gospel reading from Matthew 22 that we heard just a moment ago, dear friends in Christ. People were abuzz about the big debate. It's going to happen in just a few hours, right? People are abuzz about the big debate. What's going to happen? Is one going to be exalted? And the other one, finally, given what they deserve. Series of debates was planned. People were talking about those too. Things that had happened in the past. How would the polls be after this big debate? Who would win? But more importantly, who would lose? Not talking about Lincoln and Douglas. And I'm certainly not talking about Clinton and Trump. Talking about Jesus and the leaders of the church. They broke the debates really into two parts. Before the words of our text here in Matthew 22, Jesus has this big debate with the Sadducees. And Jesus comes out on top. He silences them. The Sadducees were the religious liberals of the day. They thought themselves way, way, way above the common people. The things that others would cling to in the Bible, those teachings were beneath them. There could be no such thing as the existence of angels. There certainly was no such thing as a physical resurrection of the body. Those things were contrary to reason. No, they were elite and fashionably liberal. And Jesus silenced them clearly from the Word of God. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Now it was their turn for the big debate with Jesus. The Pharisees were not liberal. Very conservative. I suppose we would call them in religious terms today. These were the fundamentalists. They believed that they had it all figured out. All you had to do was follow the right rules and regulations, and everything would work out just fine. In fact, they thought they could improve upon the Word of God. God gave 10 commandments, right? We memorize them. They're in our catechism. Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5, the 10 words, the 10 commandments. Well, the Pharisees, they took that a step farther. They examined every aspect of the human life. everything you do, your work, your school, your play, everything. And they came up with a few extra rules to add to the Ten Commandments. In fact, they came up with 613 extra rules, extra commandments. And if you did these things, you were okay with God. 365 new rules of things that you could not do. 248 new rules that you must do. 613 commandments on how the people of God would be and remain the people of God. It's time for the debate. The leaders of the Pharisees, the rabbis, the teachers, the scribes, they were always debating among themselves which one of these 613 rules and regulations was the most important. After all, if you're going to make yourself right with God, you want everybody to know it. And you certainly want to make sure that that is your number one action or inaction in life. So they asked Jesus, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" These Pharisees were fixated on the law and how easy it is for any of us to be fixated on the law as well. When our religion, when our faith, when our relationship with God is primarily based on the law, it makes all of our religion about me. What I do, what I don't do. Look at me. What I do, what I don't do. Look how good I am at doing what God wants me to do and what God doesn't want me to do. We pay lip service to God, but in reality, we are worshiping ourselves. Jesus will have no part of this debate. Jesus will have no part of this silliness. Jesus teaches us that when we have a religious, a faith, a moral question, there is always a right place to start. Jesus directs the Pharisees and us to the clear Word of God. Jesus said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." Jesus quotes from God's Word, from the book of Deuteronomy. We heard a portion of that in our Old Testament reading for today. The law is not summarized by man-made rules and regulations so we can make ourselves right with God. The law is summarized by two things. Love God, love your neighbor. It's very simple, isn't it? Love the Lord your God, not a little bit, not ivory soap pure, 99.44%. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. Love your neighbor, not a little bit, but love your neighbor as yourself. We all know how to love ourselves, right? Love your neighbor that way. In fact, Jesus is really teaching us that one word summarizes the law. Love. 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 We hear a lot in our world today about love, don't we? And oftentimes, love is used as an excuse to let everything and anything go. Love means tolerance. Love means you can't have any rules. Love means the way that our society has been ordered since the very beginning must be thrown out the window. After all, God is love. What a terrible perversion of God's Word. What a terrible perversion of love. All of God's Word can be broken down into two basic teachings. All of the catechism students know that the two main teachings, the two main doctrines of the Bible are law and gospel. The law shows us our sin. The law tells us what to do and what not to do. The law exposes the fact that we are not perfect, and it shows us that we cannot save ourselves. We need a Savior. The gospel does not tell us what to do. Rather, the gospel teaches us what to believe. The word gospel literally means good news. Not just any good news, like a victory in Illinois last night. No. The good news. Forgiveness, life, and salvation for poor, miserable sinners like us. Not because of what we do or what we don't do, but on the basis of what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has done for us. His perfect life, His obedient death, His victory over death and the grave on that first Easter Sunday. This is the good news. God gives forgiveness to you by grace, through faith, on account of the person and work of Jesus Christ. My friends, if you don't know the law, then the gospel is meaningless. What has Christ saved you from if you don't know the law of God and that you are destined on your own for the fires of hell for all eternity? And if you have only the law without the gospel, guess what? You have to create your own good news. And it turns you into hypocrites. Well, I may not be perfect, but at least I'm better than him or her. Or it drives you to despair. I can't do it. I can't live up to what God requires. So why should I even care? Why should I even try? My friends, without the knowledge of the law and gospel, the knowledge which God freely gives, without the knowledge of the law and the gospel, the Holy Scriptures, the Bible, remain a closed and a locked book. It does not matter how smart you are, how many degrees you have, how wise you are in the business practices of the world, unless you know the proper distinction between law and gospel, that I am a sinner deserving of hell, and that God's free grace in Jesus Christ is mine by grace through faith. Unless you know this way of understanding God and His Word, you remain outside the kingdom of God. Jesus teaches us about love. What God requires of us is that we love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. Those three words pretty much sum up who we are and how we live, think, act, move, and dwell. The heart is the seat of all emotions and desires. What do you want? What do you desire? What do you long for? Is it fellowship with God? Or is it the things of this world that promise only temporal pleasure? Or a short gain or fix? God says to love, desire Him with all your heart. Your soul is like what your whole life is about. What are you devoted to? Well, at this time of the year, when you walk around town on a Saturday and see 80% of the people decked out in red, it's pretty easy to see what people are devoted to. But is that really where you place your trust? Is that really what you want to stake your future on? How easy it is for us to get devoted to things that are not bad or wrong in and of themselves, but that easily can turn into our false idols. Love the Lord your God with all your mind. What things do you think about? What things do you dwell on? What things do you read to enrich your mind? Where do you gather wisdom? Wisdom for how to live and wisdom for how to die. Many times, our minds are conformed to the things of this world rather than transformed by the will and Word of God. My friends, Jesus teaches us that this is what love is. He is love, and this is the love that He requires of us. And then, after we love God, we turn our focus not to ourselves, but to our neighbor. The first three commandments, shall have no other gods, shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, are summed up in those words, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. Commandments 4 through 10, honor your father and mother. Shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet. All of these things are summed up. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love. Love God. Love one another. You want your kids to honor and respect you? Well, then honor and respect your parents and other authorities. You want your spouse to be faithful to you? Well then, love and be faithful to your spouse. You want your neighbor to protect your name and your reputation? Well then, don't talk about them behind their back. You see how this works? This is really good common sense kind of stuff. Even the pagans realize that the law works, at least to a point. But Jesus isn't here to debate, discuss, or be a new Moses, a new lawgiver. Jesus is here for a completely different reason. Yes, the law is good, and God wants us to love Him and to love one another. But Jesus is here for a completely different reason. He's here because of the gospel. He is here because He is the gospel. He is our good news. And so Jesus turns their attention to where it needs to be. Jesus says, oh, by the way, what do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? Well, Pharisees really hadn't given it much thought. They're too busy trying to keep or to not keep 613 new rules. What's this got to do with anything? The Christ, son of David, right? Jesus says, well, you must not know your scriptures very well. Because David himself says that his son would be his Lord. How can this be? They didn't know. They could not answer a simple catechism question that our Savior, as clearly taught in the Bible, our Savior must be true God and true man at the same time. True man so he can suffer and die for the sins of the world. True man so he can fulfill the law on our behalf. And true God so that what he does would be payment for the sins of the world. True God so that he could rise victorious over sin, death, and the grave. My friends, this is love. Not that we loved God, not that we loved one another, but that God loved us. God loved us by sending His Son, Jesus Christ, who took on flesh and blood, dwell in the womb of a virgin, was born for us, born to die. Jesus Christ, who loved us by fulfilling the Ten Commandments, loving God perfectly, loving neighbor perfectly, fulfilling them on our behalf. Jesus Christ, who loved us by taking your sin and my sin and the sin of the world into Himself and onto Himself, suspended between heaven and earth, naked, bleeding, dying. This is love. Dying the death we deserve. Paying the debt we owe. My friends, Jesus is love. Because not even death and the grave could hold Him. Love wins. Love bursts forth. Love is forgiveness, free and full, for all of the times when we have failed to love God, for all of the times when we have not looked at His Word to teach us what things we should love and which things we should avoid, for all of the times we have loved me, myself, and I more than neighbor. Jesus Christ has paid the price in full. Your sins are forgiven. You are free. Free for what? Free to do whatever I want. My friends, you're free to love. You're free to love. How can anyone who has tasted this love and this freedom and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ go back? Go back to the gutter of our sins. Go back to the selfishness of our own way. No, God's Word changes our heart, changes our will, changes our mind, changes the things that we are devoted to, so that we can love the things that God has given us in a proper perspective, always loving God first and seeking to love others more than self. God teaches us how to love. My friends, you can debate God's Word and especially the law all you want. But it is a fruitless effort. The essence of your faith is not the law. Unless you think of it this way. The law fulfilled perfectly by the love of God in Jesus Christ. And now may God, who has loved us perfectly in Jesus Christ, continue day by day to teach us to love Him and to love one another. May God grant it to us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our lives, our love in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. Having received the love of God in Christ Jesus, we sing our praises to Him. We continue with the Te Deum, page 223. Please stand as you're able. And welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus, love in action for you, for me, for the life of the world. This time we ask that you would participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping with us on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of God's love in Jesus Christ would be yours today and always. This time we worship God with our gifts and offerings. Our service continues and concludes with the prayers of the church. We begin with the Kyrie, middle of page 227. Please stand as you're able. Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. The Lord be with you. O God, because without you we are not able to please you, mercifully grant that your Holy Spirit may in all things direct and rule our hearts. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. In addition to the prayer requests in our news and notes, we pray for Al Fox, the father of Nancy Stepp, who is currently hospitalized in Lincoln. We also pray for Sherry Sapp, the mother of Lori Reinke, for successful knee replacement surgery tomorrow. We pray. O God, our Father, You have commanded that we love You and love our neighbor. When the world confesses its comfort in sin and apathy towards Your holy law, grant us faith and courage to confess Christ as Lord, so that You would be glorified and our neighbors would come to know You as Father. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O God, our Father, Your Son has promised to be present where two or three are gathered in His name. And in the gathering of the faithful, You feed Your people. Continue to draw Your children to You, so that with all the faithful, we may be glad to go to the house of the Lord. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O God, our Father, You have placed authorities over us for our peace and safety. Remember our president, legislature, judges, and all those who make, administer, and judge our laws. Grant them wisdom and a desire to seek Your will. Guard all those who serve in emergency services and the armed forces of our land. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O God, our Father, Satan and his minions assail Your children. As we await the day of our Lord's return, when the head of the serpent will be crushed forever, keep us steadfast and shield us with Your word of truth, so that we may withstand the devil and all his assaults. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O God, our Father, You sent Your holy angels to comfort Your Son in Gethsemane, and You send them to Your children to guard us in all our ways. We thank You for this precious comfort, and we ask that You would continue to send them for our comfort and joy. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O God, our Father, remember in mercy all those who call upon You in their need, especially this day, Sherry and Al. Let Your holy angels be with them, that the wicked foe may have no power over them. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O God, our Father, grant the comfort of Your Holy Spirit to all those who mourn. We ask a special measure of Your blessings upon the family of Jeff Ficken, the family of Denise Henning, and the family of Matthew Fritz. When our last hour draws near, Lord, let at last Your holy angels come to bring us to our rest, where we will rejoice to be reunited with those we love who have gone before us in the faith. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your gift of marriage. We thank You for the gift of love that finds its proper expression in marriage. And we thank You for 50 years of marriage for Rich and Susie Zemenichek. Heavenly Father, bless them that their love for each other would never grow weary, but deepen and grow through every joy and sorrow shared. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into Your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in Your mercy through Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, You have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with Your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by Your governance, may be righteous in Your sight. Through Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
Please be seated. Our closing hymn, number 842, Son of God, Eternal Savior. And welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus. Kids, you can go get some goodies if you want. 9:20. We're back in here for Sunday school opening. 9:20. Moms, dads, grandmas, and grandpas, you can come to Sunday school opening too. All right. Check out the Good Shepherd News and Notes for the activities and events that are happening in the days and weeks ahead. Keep Pastor Murundi in your prayers, not only blessings on his message today, but for safe travel back and forth to Iowa. Bible study, we're in transition right now. Next Sunday, we're going to start two new Bible studies. Bible study on Islam in the Fellowship Hall. I'm calling it Islam for Dummies or Islam 101, since we really collectively don't know a lot. So we'll find out. We'll go to the primary sources and we'll let that help us out. Pastor Murundi will also start a new Summary of Christian Doctrine Bible study next week in room 109, Refresher of the Faith. Or if you know of someone that would like to find out a little bit more about being a Lutheran Christian, that's the place to be. Today, since we finished up Ecclesiastes last week, today we're going to do a one-time shot on the topic of transgenderism. Transgenderism. Some of you are well aware of how this topic of transgenderism hit the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod head on about 3 years ago when a Missouri Synod pastor decided that he no longer wanted to be a male human being. And this has been in the news over the last several weeks, and we're going to sort all of that out based on God's Word today in the Fellowship Hall. Check out 95.7 if you haven't done so already. Great stuff on the radio program, and there's several notes in the news and notes about help and assistance that can be used. Next Sunday, October 2nd, there are two big things that are going on. One is the Life Chain, and that's down on O Street, a peaceful protest for the sanctity of human life. If you have any questions about that, check out the news and notes or talk to Sandy Langemeyer. Also, unfortunately, at exactly the same time is the LWML Zone Rally at Calvary. And when Pastor Vorman retired and moved to Pennsylvania, Pastor Poppy became the Zone LWML pastoral representative. So I can't be two places at once, but I will be at Calvary next Sunday afternoon. You heard in the prayers, we have a special day to celebrate today for Rich and Susie. You want to stand up? All right. Richard and Suzanne Zemenichek. How am I doing on that last name? Am I close? Okay. Well, I'm half Czech, so I got it half right. Okay. Kuchera, Piha, Pika, same thing. Those are my family. September 24th, 1966 to September 24th, 2016, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Psalm 127, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Congratulations on 50 years. Let's thank God for this milestone too, shall we? All right. Coffee and goodies in the Fellowship Hall. You are all invited. Bible studies, have a great day and week and life in the love of God.